I got the committee wrong last time, so let me call to order the Flood Resilience Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council on this April 1st. And the next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from March.
Second.
All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Public comments, if you're here with a public comment, please come forward and name and address 2.5 minutes. Anybody for public comment for flood resilience? None? All right. That will be closed. Item 4, presentation of the Charleston County Climate Action Plan.
Mr. Mayor, I think we're going to have Mr. David Quick, who's the chairman of our Green Commission, introduce this subject.
David, hello, and thank you for serving as chair of our inaugural chair of our Green Commission.
It's been a pleasure. It's something that I'm very passionate about and think that we can do a lot of good things for Mount Pleasant. So thank you for appointing me. I just wanted to preface today's presentation of Charleston County's climate action plan proposal. It came before the Green Commission last month, and we were very supportive. And we were hoping that you guys would also be supportive and be open to the possibility of us making a public statement in support of the climate action plan. We didn't want to presume that you guys were supportive of it. We wanted you all to hear it and see if it would be a good idea. There's some really good, solid ideas. It's, you know, a voluntary thing, pretty much, and I think we could all do better. There are a lot of co-benefits to a climate action plan other than just being a good environmental thing. There's efficiencies that are involved with trying to do things with less waste and pollution. So I hope you all will give it a good listen and maybe make a recommendation that council endorses or supports the climate action plan.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Mic is on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. Okay, here we go.
Hi. I can't see you behind the monitor
I'm pretty short. Sorry. Okay. Do you want me to like lower the?
No, it's,
it doesn't lower.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Side if you want.
All right. Sorry about that. Hi, I'm Ariel Gerstein. I'm sustainability manager for Charleston County. I've been in the role about 2.5 years, so it's a new position. So as was said, I'm here to speak on our climate action plan. Okay, so why did we develop a climate action plan? A few reasons. We want to demonstrate leadership to reduce emissions. When I say emissions, I'm talking about greenhouse gas emissions, or some people say carbon emissions, but we say greenhouse gas emissions because we're including other things like methane, nitrous oxide, things like that. We want to look at climate-related risks, so, and also make sure our infrastructure is resilient. As we all know, living on the coast, we have challenges, floods, hurricanes, things like that. We have an interim target for 2035 and a net zero target for 2050, which is a general accepted target that municipalities that create these plans all strive to achieve. Okay, so the plan has been out for, I believe, 3 weeks so far. We just closed our public comment period on Friday. We have a lot of different documents because our plan is quite long. It's over 170 pages. So we don't have an expectation that a resident who is not very, very passionate about this topic is going to want to read that long of a document. So we do offer other shorter versions. We have a 9-page executive summary. We have an action summary, which just goes over the actions that we want to implement. We have a frequently asked questions, and then we just have a very short 1-pager going over what we want to do and the very high level summary actions. And that's all on our website. All right, so kind of our process, I'm not going to go over this in depth, but this was our process from beginning to end. We've been working on this for about 1.5 years. We hired a consultant who has worked over 100 of these plans. They've all been passed in Canada and the U.S., so they have a very high success rate. So we are, of course, on the last, I guess, turquoise bubble there, the draft and final plan. We've done a lot of engagement, which I will talk about in the upcoming slides. So we wanted to inform, consult, and involve in all stages of this process. We didn't want to be telling residents what, you know, what was going to be in the plan. We wanted to learn from residents what they wanted in the plan. So we did three webinars to learn from residents what they would like to see in the plan. We did several newsletter articles. We've done two presentations for council. We have an upcoming final presentation. We did lots of community outreach events, tabling events. We have a resilience and sustainability advisory committee, which will be ongoing. It's a formal committee. If you're familiar with the city's committee, it's a similar setup where council appoints our members. And then we have a staff and expert climate advisory team, which has now been disbanded now that the plan is in draft. So here's our engagement by numbers. I forgot to mention we did have a questionnaire online for residents that couldn't make in-person events to fill out to get their feedback on what we were doing. So there's some of our advisory committee members, and we did have Shannon Whitehead participate in our CCAT from Mount Pleasant. So she was representing Mount Pleasant in our group because we did have other municipalities and nonprofits, MUSC, I think, and county members. All right. So just to give a little background, when you create a climate action plan, the goal is to reduce emissions, but first you have to figure out what your emissions baseline is. So in order to do this, we measured the year 2020. We figured out what our greenhouse gas emissions were over that time frame for the whole county. And in order to do this, we look at carbon dioxide equivalent emissions, because of course, if we're looking at different greenhouse gases, they're not apples to apples comparison. So we have to do equivalent emissions. So this is our starting point. So basically, the whole high level analysis of this graph shows that the focus for reducing emissions is at the transportation and building sector. There is some at the agriculture and waste, but they're quite small. We include the municipal. The municipal means our county specific emissions. Of course, they're quite small compared to Charleston County in general, but we like to include that because we'll always focus on reducing our own emissions. So this is our pathway. So we want to look at our business as usual scenario, meaning if we do nothing in our plan, what's going to happen to 2050? So that's that orange line. So there's going to be a little reduction, just us doing nothing, because of course there's going to be, you know, laws and regulations that come that, you know, we're going to see some reduction that way. And then we have our low carbon scenario, which is the pathway that's modeled in our plan. So when we say net zero by 2050, we don't mean technically zero, but close to net zero as possible. So that is the pathway that we're aiming for in this plan. All right, so this is showing by our moves and our plan what we aim to accomplish. So circular economy, which is a really small one there, is basically waste. So we include recycling, compost, things like that. Industrial, agricultural sectors, another smaller one, clean energy. So we would be including renewable, solar, wind, things like that. Sustainable and inclusive transportation is that very large turquoise one, and the pink is buildings. So just some numbers. In 2023, households and businesses spent $1.7 billion on energy in Charleston County. All right, so I'm not an economist, so I'm going to read a little bit on this graph because we did have a consultant, and so I don't like to get this one wrong. So there's incremental costs and savings resulting from our low carbon scenario. So incremental means a difference between the costs and savings in our business as usual and low carbon scenario. So their incremental capital cost of around $500 million per year, which of course sounds like a lot, but in the context of Charleston County's GDP, it's 1.5% or less. So this number includes the extra cost of purchasing EVs, heat pumps, installing solar and wind projects, things like that. And please note that these investments are made by households and businesses and not the county. So when a household purchases an EV, for example, it contributes to these capital investments. So the investments generate energy cost savings, which are in yellow. So as more and more investments are made, the savings increase over time so that they exceed the investments. And this is because heat pumps use a third as much energy as a natural gas boiler, or an electric vehicle uses less energy than a gasoline vehicle. And there's also some revenues. You can see in pink, it's not much, but as you can see, it increases over time because that comes from selling solar energy. So basically, when you sum up all the costs and savings over the period, you get a net savings of $6.4 billion, or with the Inflation Reduction Act investments, which is shown on this graph, $7.4 billion. So the key point is that the low carbon pathway saves Charleston County money. So we just like to point this out, that we like to show this plan as a reduction, as an economic opportunity and not just an environmental opportunity. So household expenditures on energy declined from 5,200 in 2020 to 3,900 by 2050. And the plan would also bring 3,400 jobs per year with the new sector investment. So just some implementation strategies. So I talked about what we were calling the big moves in the plan. So the five big sectors that we would be focusing on. So I'm not going to read all of these, but we do have 11 strategies under the five big moves outlined in the plan, and we do have 53 strategies outlined, which are not listed in the presentation, but are in the longer plan. In the longer plan. But the thing to keep in mind is that we're going to be reevaluating this plan every 5 years. So these 53 actions are going to be essentially worked on every 5 years. They're not all implementation. Well, they're implementation, but they're not all necessarily projects that cost money. Some are educational. So when you look at the actions in the plan, some are, you know, compost workshops, which we're already doing. Some are implementation. Some do cost money. Some are just, you know, collaborating with other municipalities or the state or things like that. So some do require money, some don't require money, some are just educational. So, you know, some require more staff time, some require more money, and we will be doing greenhouse gas inventories to measure our progress. So this will be a work in progress, ongoing. And another thing, we're really well aware that the community does not want to see requirements and regulations, and that they want to see incentives. And we have built this plan to reflect that. So that is what the plan is built around. And we've been really cognizant of that. So currently, this is the remaining timeline. As I mentioned, the public comment period closed on Friday. This is our tentative schedule. This could potentially change. This is all based on what our council wants, but tentatively we plan to present our final presentation on May 2nd. Our tentative vote is scheduled on May 7th. So the committee meeting would be presentation, and then May 7th, where public comments would be allowed, is May 7th. And all the documents that I referenced could be found at that website link. And here's all my contact information. If you want to sign up for my e-newsletter, it is also there, and open to any questions. Thank you.
All right. committee members, I've got a couple of questions.
Go ahead. I don't have any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I have questions.
Okay. So if you could go back to the timetable chart.
Sure.
So final county presentation, that's a public presentation or is that a presentation to county council?
It's for council, but it's at a public meeting that will be recorded, like live streamed.
It's not at a county council meeting, though?
It's at our committee meeting. So.
Committees, okay.
But it's a public, like people can sit there, they just can't give comments at it.
I was just trying to figure out when they will be voting on this. So the tentative vote is scheduled for May 7th.
That's correct.
Okay. Just trying to get a handle on that. Can you go way back in the slide to who is on, I'm trying to remember the name, is it Resilience and Sustainability Commission or Committee?
We have an advisory committee.
Okay.
Were you asking for the Mount Pleasant member?
No, right there. I know Joe Boykin. I was just trying to see who, and so you got Adrian Kane from the Home Builders Association. So people like that are on board. I don't mean like Adrian, but the home builders are on board for all of this.
I can't speak for every member of Home Builders, but Adrian, I don't want to speak for him personally, but we've had conversation and I believe he's supportive of the plan.
Okay. And you also mentioned that sort of like our low impact development standards, we're using an incentive based approach right now. That this is all incentive based.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to mention that, any of the actions that would affect ordinances or our ZLDR, they'll have to go, you know, it's not just that everything's passed, like if the plan passes, they'll have to go again through council to be formally passed, like in our ordinances. So it's not that it's, you know what I mean? It's not that it's like just passed because the plan is passed. This basically allows us to work on these actions.
Right. Where I'm trying to get to committee members, and David may talk to you. I mean, I haven't read this and I'm being asked to endorse it, but I haven't read it, but I do trust our Green Commission. We have credentialed people on there. And I assume that y'all had, David, if you want to come up, y'all had a chance to look this over. It's consistent with what our Green Commission is working towards in the town.
Absolutely. I might be the only Green Commission member that's read through this. But we were all very comfortable. Ariel gave a much more detailed presentation at our meeting. I think it was about 45 minutes in all. And yes, we were comfortable with it. Okay. I mean, it's, again, it's an incentive program, much like what we're proposing with our low impact development. And it's a beginning, you know, it's a start. It's a framework for moving forward to a greener, cleaner, more efficient economy in Charleston County.
Right. And none of this, I'll ask staff this question, none of this commits us to any, to funding anything that we're not aware of at this point, right?
No, sir.
Okay. So there's no funding commitment. These are aspirational goals to get us there, and it's consistent with what our Green Commission is advising us to do in our own town.
Yes, I'd say absolutely so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I mean, endorsing something we haven't read every bit of, but if everybody else has read that and can...
And understand, I know it's a little bit of a short time frame, but I think, Ariel, you had wanted to talk to us for a few months, and we were busy with other items that were more town-centric.
And I know Joe Boykin real well. I can give him a call. If
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing list of talent up there in perspectives. I think they did a good job of putting some really good members together.
That's good.
To go through that.
That's good. So we would have a motion from this committee, and I'm assuming we would be putting, if it passes this committee, it would be on our full council agenda next week to do a, but would this be not a proclamation, but a resolution,
sure.
Just a resolution to endorse it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we've been working with Councilman Boykin really closely, so if you want to give him a call, feel free.
Do that, okay. So is there a motion?
I'll move with, we recommend to full council the endorsement of the Charleston County Climate Action Plan.
Okay. And just for clarity, we will make that a resolution of council. Okay. All right, we have a motion, a second. Is there any discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. Item five is something we're real excited about and the town is a sponsor of, and that's the South Carolina 7 events coming up. If you're not familiar with it, go find it online, South Carolina 7. And they have moved it from, and while we're in the budget season, we were a sponsor last year and we were a sponsor this year, but last year it was in July. So it came out of the current year's budget and they moved it this year to starting on Earth Day in April. So it looks like while we're putting more, twice as much money in it, it's two different years' events. It just happened that this one had to come out of the same budget year, but it's not, we're not talking about a whole lot of money. But that, just wanted to get that out there on the record. But there's a big resiliency conference at the end of this. It's out at Wild Dunes. What is paid to attend that includes meals, receptions, and the seminars. And South Carolina 7 has asked us to be one of the presenters as well. So I'm sure this committee and the Green Commission and the planning staff, Ms. Reed, we'll put our heads together and decide what we need to be putting out there about resiliency. South Carolina 7 is spearheaded by, but not, he's not exclusively the person, and it is the is Tom Mulliken, the chair of the State Flood Waters Commission, who addressed us in February here. So no stranger to all of us. We've got council members going. We've got Green Commission members going. I think we've got some staff that's going as well. And today I learned we have some Planning Commission members that would like to go as well. And I think the town, am I correct, can pay for us to go.
That's correct.
So that would be great. And maybe there's Liz, and Green Commission already knows about it, I think. And if Planning Commission members would know that the town would be glad to send them, that would be great. So we just wanted to put that out there. The statewide events will start this month on Earth Days in the upstate and watch as things progress down to a grand finale down here. Did I leave anything out? Those of y'all that have been working, like Liz or whatever from the Green Commission, who've been watching more of these events or more of what's being put out there, I don't think I left anything out. I think we covered most of that. There is the bridge walk like we did last year. I believe it's May 18th. It's on a Saturday rather than a Monday. So we'll be looking to put Team Mount Pleasant together. I want to thank everybody. Last year, I was hoping to have 8 or 10 people, and I think we had 50 or 60 of Team Mount Pleasant. I know Charleston was blown away when they saw us coming up the bridge, so thank y'all. But that'll be fun to do again this year, and we'll meet Charleston in the middle of the bridge. So if I haven't left anything out of that, we'll move on to item number 6, which is projects update.
Yes, sir. We thought it would be good to add this item as projects and programs every month, and whatever we covered in the Green Commission or otherwise, we can just provide an update today. We're going to have Kevin and Chris provide some updates.
Good evening. Be super brief here. Touching on couple of projects that we have on the books, and we're trying to move forward with as quickly as possible. The first one's Edwards Basin. Y'all should be familiar with it. It's been going on for quite some time. It's an $8 million project. We are just ending the utility coordination, Mount Pleasant Waterworks. Got the final design. We updating the bid documents and should be ready to begin the bid process within the next few weeks and hopefully moving forward midsummer. Mid-early summer with a bid process process on that. And the next one is the Kincaid Ben Sawyer, another grant project, $9.3 million. We just completed the survey. We have designs underway on that. That one will be a 2025 project that will, once the design's done, we're going to be moving forward with permitting, which does take a lot of time. So we do anticipate 2025 start that one. That's got an end deadline of 2026. And also the Hobcaw Basin project has been going on for quite some time too. It's a $3.3 million project. That's a multi-basin, more targeted approach there in the Hobcaw subdivision. Miss Marissa Noble from our staff is leading that project, and they're going through the final design VEs to bring the scope down and make sure it's within or either close to that $3.3 million target. Mid-summer, late summer, hopefully, for that one to get kind of going. And then lastly on projects is the Tall Pines. This is one of our micro projects. Miss Noble is also spearheading that. She's actually the design engineer. We did the design in-house. It's one of those very small projects that we wanted to target, and we're using some nature-based solutions to help resolve some surface level type nuisance flooding along those streets and in the groves. And there's not any questions on any of those projects. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Chris Lubert of our Green Commission.
What's the timetable on the Hobcaw project?
We're hoping mid-summer.
Summer to bid, and then hopefully start fall of 2024 for construction. It's about a 1 year duration is what we're
doing. Okay, so bids this summer.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Still waiting for FEMA approval because it is a big full grant funded project.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Lubert. He's staff of the Green Commission.
Oh, I guess you need that.
All right, good afternoon, flood resilience. I am Chris with the planning department. I'm just going to give you a real brief update on the Green Commission March agenda. You already heard the climate action plan, and then in addition to that, we had these tree bank grants. So we had three total. We approved two of them for $2,000 each, and one was deferred for April. That was for Hunter's Trace HOA and Hamlin Plantation POA. Also, we had recommendations to update our environmental commercial program. The biggest thing is adding more techniques. This has been implemented now for a year, so we got some feedback from developers, staff who work with it every day. And they're adding techniques like additional tree retention, installation of animal nesting boxes, pet waste stations, pond vegetated buffers, things like that. Also, leading into the creating a new residential LID program, we identified there are approximately 27,000 single-family homes in Mount Pleasant. So there's going to need to be some talk about a residential LID program. We are having at this time high-level discussion of what it might look like an incentive-based, educational-based program, not anything mandated at this time. And the next steps for that are going to be stakeholder meetings and development of the actual program itself. And that's where we
start. So that will be working with existing single-family homes.
Yes, sir.
And trying to go maybe like from gray to green to help build our green infrastructure, which saves us money on our gray infrastructure.
Right? Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So how far along are y'all in that process?
Very early beginnings, just high level discussion right now.
Okay.
And so we're going to continue working with the Green Commission.
It takes time. It's important, and it's worth taking time on, but that's great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Council members. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Does that conclude item six on project updates? I appreciate it, and I think that's very good. This is not on our agenda for today, but one of the things I have thought about, and we'll probably have to take this up in PJL at some point, we've got a lot of boards and commissions, and although we can't approve those minutes, we can receive those, you know, say that those minutes and all have been received. So maybe in the future we'll look at like this committee, you know, having on the agenda that we receive the minutes. That just keeps us up to date with what's going on. We don't go and sit in like we're watching over all our appointees, David, you know, see if you're doing what we want you to do or whatever. But and for the others as well. We know that the planning committee does get the recommendations from the planning commission, which keeps them in step with with each other. So just something to think about in the future. But I sure appreciate the work that the Green Commission is doing, making a name for themselves in the region, by the way, and in a good way, which is great. So that concludes item six. Item seven is to adjourn if there's nothing else. This committee meeting is